rescue, this word rescue. And at Christmas time, the Lord spoke to me, I know this, I'm a vicar, I do this stuff at Christmas, that Jesus is the saviour of the world. He's come to save people, to rescue people. And just something stuck with me over Christmas about that baby. And then during Lent and these weeks pre-Easter, again, it was this sense of being rescued, that Jesus has come to save us. And our vision is this for this year. Join us in building community. And these communities that we're doing, your groups, this thing down at Hallam we're going to do, we're asking the Lord if he would use us to help others be rescued by him. And a verse from the scripture has stayed with me over these past weeks, and it's from Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 from the Message translation, which says this: Jesus Christ rescued us from this evil world we're in by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. God's plan is that we all experience that rescue. Glory to God forever. I love the Message. Oh, yes. Okay, we're all going to say this together now. Okay, and I don't want any messing on the oh, yes at the end. I want to, oh, yes. Okay? We did it this morning. It was phenomenally average. So we're going to do it now. Okay, so let's read this scripture together. Jesus Christ rescued us from this evil world we're in by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. God's plan is that we all experience that rescue. Glory to God forever. Oh, yes! You take the prize over this morning. Okay? Absolutely outstanding. Oh, yes. At the end. Okay, that's scripture. The word rescue in that scripture from Galatians, the original in the Greek, it actually means to deliver, as if you are delivering someone from a precipice or a cliff face or the waters where they're going to go under and drown. And it says, Paul is saying that Jesus Christ has rescued us from this evil world we're in by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And again, the words are important. The word evil has this connotation of pain and distress. So what's happening is Paul is saying that Jesus Christ has come to deliver us from this world which has so much pain and disturbance in it. Just turn the news on, see what's happening at the moment. You know, we might think we're having a bad day or a bad week, or, you know, we've got troubles and heartaches and challenges. No one is dropping barrels of poison on us from a helicopter. We ain't got any issues compared to that. There's a guy in Syria dropping poison on children. I mean, when people say to me, well, you go over the top of this, you know, I don't know if the world is evil, really. There is evil in the world. There is evil in the world. And there is a personification of evil, the devil. Jesus believed in the devil. It's good enough for Jesus. It's good enough for JC. It's good enough for me. There is evil in this world. And Jesus has come and he died on the cross that we would, in a supernatural way, be delivered. Not that evil will stop. He conquered evil on the cross. But it's still trying to have some power in the world. It is conquered once and for all and will be put down at the end of time. But actually, this evil that we see now, even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. And we don't have to be fearful and fear this evil, because Jesus has rescued us from that and gives us peace in our lives. We don't need to worry in that way. But he's come to rescue us from that. We can give glory to God. So on that, I just want to share this with you, this rescue. Did anybody, Trish and I saw a program a few weeks ago. It was on, you probably didn't see it, but it was on at tea time about 7 o'clock. And we just put the TV on, got in late and getting ready for some food. And it was Saving Lives at Sea. Did anybody see that program? It was about lifeboat people around the nation. Put your hand up if you saw that program. Probably none of you saw that program. you have missed one of the most phenomenal programs ever. And what it did, it took the film, it filmed with cameras on them, lifeboat crews going out. These guys here. Going out and rescuing people. Some were small inshore lifeboats, some were the big seven class. I know all the details now. I am that nerd. And they were just going out and rescuing people. Give me a show of hands if you've ever seen the lifeboat guys at the coast, at the seaside, or whatever. Just give me a show of hands. You've seen them. Yeah. Give me a show of hands if you've ever been involved in any kind of lifeboaty, somebody's rescued you. Yeah. You see, even in a gathering like ours, miles away from the sea, we've had some involvement. These are amazing people. I was deeply struck by what struck me was over the pastor on this particular night. I started weeping. And what it was, I realized it was God speaking to me. And I really sensed God saying to me this, Mick, I've come to rescue people. You need to be the base for rescue. You need to tell the people that I've given you this amazing community and they need to become the rescue people. And so that stayed with me and it just fermented a little bit. And that verse from Galatians just impacted me. And one of the things that struck me about these guys was they all said this. Ordinary men and women working in shops, working in a cafe, working in an insurance company, or just ordinary people until they hear the klaxon. And if you were in a seaside place where there's a lifeboat, if you've ever been there and the lifeboat klaxon's gone off, it's really loud. And they hear it and they drop everything. And they leg it down to the lifeboat station, get their yellows on and their boots, and then they're off, putting their life preservers on. They get in the boat and they all said this. The guy asked them, how do you feel? And they all said more or less the same thing, which was this. Very apprehensive of what we're going to find. Very, very apprehensive. We don't know what we're going to find. All we've got is what the leader of the crew has got. He gets the message and is it, you know, somebody floating in a broken boat, somebody come off a surfboard or whatever it is. And this is their last known position. So they go to there, but with the currents, they've moved. And trying to find somebody in an ocean, one guy said, is nearly impossible. And so, but they all said this as well, apprehension. But when they hit the water, bam, the training kicks in. The training they've been given kicks in. They all know what they've got to do. And when they get there, they know what they've got to do to rescue the people they've gone to. And it really struck me this. And it's this word rescue. It's this word rescue. And as we press on with this vision of joiners and building community, I just want to show you a little framework and then I'm done. And we have a framework how we're going to do that at this church. And it's this. We have this like a triangle. When I first saw this triangle many years ago, I came out, the previous leader, Mike Breen. We were at another church, and he was a friend of mine. I came, and I saw this kind of, this triangle. Up is one angle, in is the other angle, and out, up in out. And he said, this is the model of Jesus. This is his life. It was a life in three dimensions, a time spent up with God, his Father, praying and really connecting with God, a time in with his community of faith, his friends, his disciples, and then a time out, serving in the world, preaching, Sermon on the Mount, healing the sick, casting out evil. And this is the life of Jesus in the Gospels. And this is the life we are supposed to live. It's very simple. You can write it on the back of a napkin in a coffee shop. And so I started to do that. I thought, this is right. And I started to write it on the back of napkins in coffee shops and share it with everybody I could meet. You take people out for coffees and said, how's life at the moment? And blah, blah, blah. Have you ever thought of this? And I drew a triangle and we talked about life, a life which has a dimension up to God, in and a community, the church, and out serving the world. And so when I came here, we changed it. And what we said, rather than most churches, if you go to lots of churches, you'll see this thing of love God, love the church, love the world. You'll see that kind of, because that's the way it is. We're called as Christians to do that. But I sensed a change when Trish and I came here. And we focused first of all on this, on community, on meeting friends. Because we sense this, rather than saying, meet with God, sort the God thing out, become a Christian, then join a group. I never thought that was the right way. Basically, join a group. But I've no faith. I don't know if I believe this Christianity. Think you've got it wrong. Blah, blah, blah. That's fine. Come and have a coffee. Come and have a pizza. Join our community. And then what you find is, what we found over these years is, hundreds and hundreds of people like that, as they've joined communities, meet friends, they've met with God. Because the Christian faith is caught as much as it's taught. You can't teach someone into the kingdom. They catch it. Who do they catch it off? You and me, when we're infectious with God in our communities. So meeting friends, that's how it started. We changed it to meet friends, community first. And this year, our focus in community is this. Homes and hospitality. I'm not too much about that. But we're going to open our homes to Jesus. We've got 190 odd homes in this church which are open to God. We want at least 250 as we go through this year. And we can offer hospitality to our friends, to colleagues, to housemates, course mates, whatever it is. And in doing that, we believe that God, they'll meet with God. They'll meet with God, the great rescuer. He's our rescuer. He's rescued us from sin. Let grace abound, for God is our rescuer. And in meeting God, their lives begin to change and our lives begin to change. So in midweek communities, you talk about life and you look at the Bible, people catch it. But also on Sunday, when they come to church on Sunday. And this year, there'll be some changes on Sunday. And around this, it's our seating capacity and our sending capacity. So we're going to get some new chairs. These have had their day. Yeah, we want to improve the seating. Got some new lightweight chairs coming in, fantastic chairs, enough to move around. We want to be able to put more people in the lounge at the back comfortably because more people, we believe, are going to start to come on Sundays. We're going to refurbish the center. We have an under three service at 9:45, which is fantastic. We're changing the model of that. Won't affect you guys, but we're changing the model. And the mornings will change from the 8:45, 9:45, 10:45 to an early service, 8:45, and then 1:10:30 main morning gathering. When everyone will come, but if you come with preschoolers, there's a little half 25-minute thing for you somewhere else on the campus. We're really excited about this. We think God's going to use this powerfully. More people are going to come in. So our seating capacity needs to increase. But also our sending capacity, planting at Hallam. I'm excited. I don't know if you guys are. I wish I was your age. I'd be down there, shabba-dabbering and rocking and rolling. I think it's an amazing. It's bacon sandwiches, Richard, isn't it? Bacon sandwiches. Bacon sandwiches on a Sunday morning. Coffee? Yeah. Praise God. Even if the preaching's rubbish, there's a bacon sandwich and a cup of coffee. But then Rich and James are going to speak from the word, so the preaching's going to be immense. So, and I'm really excited that we're sending people out. We sent somebody out a few years ago. We sent them to Gateshead, a team up there. We are sending people to Firvale. We're going to have a Sunday church down there for the first time ever. Thought long and hard about that, and that's going to take a big commitment for us financially. But we're going to do that. We want to send teams out into the city. So it's not just our seating capacity. We want to send people out so more people can meet with God. And as they meet friends and meet God, they start to live life better. Our lives become better. And this year, this is our focus. Podcast and provision. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. But one of these Sundays, I will ask people to put their hands up. Because we need to get more people listening to our podcast. I've done research. The 10 top biggest churches in the USA, not one of them do a daily podcast where there is a Bible reading, a reflection from somebody who knows what they're talking about, a worship song, and a prayer. I've looked at every church in the UK, and there's no church doing that on a regular basis. What we do here, 51 weeks of the year, is that on Monday to Friday, you get fresh bread from heaven every day. Monday, the Bible, a thought, a prayer, a worship song. Tuesday, the Bible, a thought, worship, a prayer. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the following week, you get somebody else doing it. And the following week, it is fresh bread from heaven's bakery on your doorstep delivered. We have 200 people listening to the podcast, not all from here. We've got friends in Spain and people around Europe listening to it. We're looking to increase that to 500 this year. To be honest with you, I don't give two hoots what's happening with large churches in the States. God bless them, let them grow. I don't want to listen to a podcast from a pastor in America. I want to listen to a podcast done by Liam Brennan, who's on our team and knows what's happening in this church. I want to hear a podcast by Alan Ward or by Helen or by Brian. I want to listen to our family teaching us about what God's saying. So if you're not listening to that podcast, start tomorrow. 500 we're looking for. What will happen is that's discipleship. The Bible in your life every morning, every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Have a break on Saturday. Come and worship on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Where that is the word. That's fresh bread. Our lives are going to change. We're going to be bigger and better people and disciples of Jesus. And as we do that, as we live our lives better, we can then trust God for the provision he puts in our lives. And just a little word about money here. I've been a pastor now for a long time in the church. I have no issue challenging people about giving money. That's the job. It's a spiritual job. It's the job of a pastor to challenge people to give. I have no idea what people give. That's between you and God. But I know if you do give or you don't give, that's my job. And actually, it's interesting. People have there's three ways to view money, your stuff, and the way we deal with it as Christians. The first one is the spirit of poverty. And a lot of the historic churches have this. Church of England, Baptist, Methodist. People have been around a long time. And the numbers are going down and it seems to be failing. And so we don't spend anything. Be careful. We don't want to waste any money. We can't do that. Don't leave the carpets. They're all right. They're not too bad. Let's not do that. It's kind of a spirit. It's a poverty. We become mean in the church. We'd like to help the poor, but we've only just got enough. And what happens is we get like a spiritual arthritis. And our hands go like that. Our hearts go like this. Can't let anybody have any money. We haven't got enough. Charity begins at home. I hate that phrase. Charity begins at home. We need to look after. It's a spiritual poverty. Jesus challenged that. Because it's not biblical. The other side of that is a spirit of prosperity. Which says this. Doesn't matter. God will provide everything you need. But I could do with it. Yeah, get a credit card. It'll be fine. We'll just get everything on the never, never. Because if you do it this way, that way, and the other way, you will be prosperous. You will have lots of money coming to you. A prosperity gospel. That's not biblical. The way that is biblical is not poverty or prosperity. It's provision. Our God will provide all that we need. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the Bible says. And that's been the testimony of myself and Trisha, my wife, all these years when we were in churches before we came here. Kids went off to school, some Fridays, we were counting the coins on the kitchen table. That's how little money we had. I don't mind sharing that with you. But God always provided, because then we prayed, and what supernatural things happened. Envelopes through the letterbox, food on the doorstep. We never sat there and said, oh God, what are you doing? Left a great job to come and do this. We've got no money. We never said that. We just said, God, you're our provider. Would you provide? And he did. Provision is a spiritual discipline. And as you trust God for that, our lives become better and bigger. People often ask me this. Can I ask you, do you tithe? Do you give 10% of your income, you and Tricia? And my answer is no. We don't tithe. We give way more than a tithe. I don't mind telling you that. Because for me and Tricia, the tithe is the starting point. Now, we weren't always like that as a Christian. When we became Christians, nobody told us. And so we used to go to church, praising the Lord, and, well, not really in the church we were in. We didn't really do praising the Lord a lot. It was an Anglican church somewhere. Anyway, never mind. But we put cash in the collection plate, what we had in our pockets. But then we learned from wise Christians who said, look, that's not how to give money to God. I'm not going through all that now. But we understood that all the money belongs to him, and he gives it to us. And so we gave him 10%, and we kept 90. It seemed a good deal to me as a mathematician, because that's what I was trained in. And since then, we've always said, God, would you give us some more, because we can give it back to you? And he always has. And he says, well, you keep that and just give some more. And all of a sudden, when we look at our accounts, it's way over 10%. I'm telling you that not to boast, but to show you that the better life comes from giving what we think is ours back to the God who gave it to us in the first place. He's our provider. And he gives us fresh bread from the scriptures every day. And that's what we're looking at this year. And as we do that, we will become a rescue team. And I want to finish by saying this. If we take all that away, dear friends, all that away, and we're just left with that, and this vision gets bigger, join us in building community, lots more communities, lots more student communities. This is what will happen in 2018. Then in 2018, we will be rescuers. And SOS stands for Save Our Souls. There are many souls to be saved. And God is calling me and you to do that. I want to just finish by, that's the last slide. I'm going to pray and then we're going to just go and have some coffee, I think. I just want to leave it with this, which is that I think we're at a great crossroads as a church, actually, in that there are 1,000 people in this church. And all the staff team here know I'm meticulous on this, the figures, how we count. And I hate spin. I hate kind of, oh, I don't know, how many have you got? Oh, well, let's add 15, 20%. I don't do that. There's no point in doing that. And so we know how many are in clusters and cell groups and how many come on Sunday. There's 1,000 people, more or less, in this church, with another 1,000 or 1,500 on the fringes. People we know who come to staff or have been, maybe we'll come along to stuff. And we're at the stage now where we're ready to say, you have given us so much, God, it's time now to get out in these rescue boats. Now, here's the deal. How does that work? Well, I think it works like this to finish with. Remember those lifeboat crews working away in their ordinary jobs, studying at a university, in a school, working in a job 9 to 5, and then they hear the klaxon, and they drop everything, and they're ready to rescue. How does that work for me and you? Well, it's like this. Monday or Tuesday, you're at a photocopier at work. You're talking with a colleague. How are you? How's your weekend been? Yeah, fine. Yeah, not too bad. Well, it's not brilliant at the moment. My wife's ill. She's been ill for a while. In that moment, ba, 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 that's the klaxon. It may be very quiet, ba, ba, but you hear it. And God is saying, it's time for rescue. What do? We say this. I'm really sorry to hear that. Would you mind if we pray for you? I'm a Christian. I go to a church. With your permission, we'd love to pray for you. I've never, ever met anyone who goes, no way. We'll get through this without you people praying. Every time people go, oh, that's cool, thank you, appreciate that. Or you're at the school gates. And how are you getting on? Oh, well, the kids are, I don't know, we just get no sleep and the kids are just... Well, do you know what? Do you mind if we pray for you? I'm part of a group, I go to a church and... Well, why don't you come round and meet some of my friends? We have coffee in our home. And while you're at uni in a lecture and you notice somebody afterwards or you're getting a coffee and something comes up and you, in that moment, you'll know it when you know it, the klaxon goes off and God says, rescue time. Offer. And the best thing you can do is to say, can I pray for you? See what happens out of that. Or at school. I think, guys, we just need to invite more people along to Defined. why not come along? Rescue. We're all in this business of rescuing. And I think it's a big challenge for us this year, because I think student culture, I'll go through these cultures and I'll finish. Student culture is in crisis. Christian student culture is in crisis. And I think now is the time for God to raise up rescuers who are ready to go. Are you ready to do that? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to come out of your ordinary and step into that rescue boat through prayer and invitation or whatever it is? Young adults today are under as much pressure as I've ever known. Financially, job security, futures. But in the midst of that, you have something others don't have. You have Christ. And so, are you willing to be the rescuer, ready to say, could I pray for you? Why not come along and meet some of our friends? Whether it's in school or whether it's in the workplace or whether it's at uni. It's time to save souls. The Church of Jesus needs to stand up and get over it and get on with it and be less consumed with its own life, but with the lives of those who are drowning in a troublesome and painful world. Let's just be still a minute. Let's let the Spirit of God rest on us now. I'm just going to pray, and then we are finishing this evening. Jesus, this is a wonderful world you've brought us into. But it's a troublesome world, a painful world. Lord, at some point in our lives, we will understand that we've been rescued by you. For me, you rescued me from a life I don't know where I'd be. Most of the kids I grew up with are either dead or in prison. And it's only looking back we see you've rescued us, Lord. In the moment, we're so consumed with our lives, we can't see it. But Jesus, quietly now this evening, we ask you would stir up those who would say, I'm ready to volunteer to be a spiritual rescue team person. Maybe joining youth team or kids, maybe something in-house in the church. And God knows we need workers in those teams. But Lord, all of us have a responsibility to hear the klaxon going. Those conversations we have, those moments when you say, now is the time. Throw the rope. Throw the life preserver. They're ready to hear. Pray for them. So God, we ask that you do that for us, that we would see many saved and many come to faith this year. Use us, Lord, as best as we can. We offer ourselves to you tonight. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.